Hello and welcome to Film School for Dad, the podcast where I attempt to catch my old man up on a lifetime squandered on serious pursuits and altruistic activities that somehow managed to overlook pretty much all of popular culture. I'm Harv.
And I'm Dad.
And what are we watching today, Dad?
Well, I believe we're watching a film called Jerry Maguire.
That's correct. Jerry Maguire is a 1996 Tom Cruise vehicle directed by Cameron Crowe and co-starring Renee Zellweger and Cuba Gooding Jr. back when those things were actually like things. They're not really these days. Unlike the Tom Cruise vehicles of today, which consist mostly of action films, Jerry Maguire is best described as a romantic comedy or a drama. It's a bit hard to tell. It kind of straddles that line. And it's most notable for Cuba Gooding Jr.'s breakout role, for which he won an Oscar. And it also spawned a number of catchphrases that you might know, such as "show me the money" and "you complete me." And now I owe Tom Cruise $248 just for saying those phrases out loud. It was integrated into the public zeitgeist enough to spawn like parodies and satires and so on, including one that you've seen that I made, which may actually ruin the film for you if you remember it at the right moment. But on one of my popcorn lobotomy videos was on that. I remember I sent it to you. We'll play it again later if you can't remember. But this movie, it kind of wears its heart on its sleeve to an extent that it's really hard to not forgive it for its flaws, even though it kind of does, in retrospect, seem a little bit cheesy. So I don't know if you'll find it that way. It does combine sport, marriage, and public relations in a movie, which you would think are three things that would at least pique your interest.
Well, they're three things that have been central to my life.
Yes, absolutely. And it does deal with them quite interestingly as well and in detail. So hopefully that'll be enough to get it over the line. Tell us what you know about it. I mean, obviously, you know now it's got Tom Cruise in it. Did you know that before?
I didn't know that before, and that alarms me a little.
Yeah, so that's an issue for you. What are your thoughts about Tom Cruise?
I've avoided Tom Cruise like the plague at this point in my life.
Okay, you're not alone there.
No.
What's your reasoning for avoiding Tom Cruise? I mean, is there a particular movie where he got you offside?
I just look at him and I see Tom Cruise, who I think is a lightweight person.
He's I don't know how lightweight he is. He's certainly light on height.
Oh, I didn't mean physically. I mean someone I struggle to respect.
Why though? Is it the Scientology?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know. I just regard him as a bit of a lightweight actor.
So from seeing any particular movies, like the 80s movies that he did, like Cocktail and things like that?
I don't think I saw Cocktail in full. I might have known a little bit about it. I must have seen him in something, but I've struggled to remember what it would be.
So what you're telling me is you're holding a grudge based on religion. Wow.
Well, as I think you said, all his recent stuff is action stuff, which
that's very true.
Which I wouldn't pay to go and see.
So, yeah, no, you wouldn't have any interest in most of his most recent movies.
No. I know he was married to Nicole Kidman at one stage.
He was.
Who I do like.
Well, he doesn't like her anymore.
No.
Unfortunately. Maybe that's part of the reason he got you
offside. May have dragged him down with me a bit. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't think so. I'm not a judgmental sort of person. It's not bad.
No.
No.
Just the fact that he's had nine wives or whatever it is. I don't know how many it is now.
Anyone who can get sucked in by Scientology is going to struggle to convince me that there's someone I should take seriously.
Well, the rumor is that there's a reason that the Scientology has some kind of blackmail material on him and he's basically their slave. He has to work for them forever.
May well be.
And, you know, people say, oh, well, it's because, you know, obviously he's gay. Well, that might be true, but I don't know if that's a big enough secret in these days.
Yeah.
For him to want to keep it and, you know, work for Scientology for the rest of his life.
Well, I did look into a bit of Scientology stuff when I was a journalist, and that was the main reason why I don't have a high respect for people who fall for that rubbish.
It is difficult. I don't know if Tom Cruise is, you know, like if he believes in the whole Xenu, you know, about the mythology of
I've actually read Ron Hubbard's books, you know, as part of my research at the time.
Yeah, but you have to ascend, so you pay several thousand dollars to ascend up all of the ranks. There's 30 whatever ranks.
About the pain.
And then he tells you about Xenu. It's pretty crazy stuff. And yeah, I guess Tom Cruise is out there peddling, so you can't respect him for that. But I like to separate people from their personal lives when I watch a movie. So I think.
Oh, and I'm quite capable of doing that. We're only exploring why I may have a low opinion of him before I watch him and why I've avoided him like the plague.
Well, there's certain roles that a person like Tom Cruise is ideal for playing, and they're not necessarily likable roles. He's made a career out of playing kind of cocky, good-looking womanizers and things like that. You're not supposed to like him in quite a lot of the movies that he's in.
Tell me, is Cruise his real name?
Probably not.
No, I think that puts me off him too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, most people in Hollywood change their names, I believe.
Yeah. What I just said is not rational, but it might be a might be a factor. In,
well, humans value honesty.
Yeah.
And
authenticity.
Using a fake name is dishonest.
Authenticity.
Yeah. Well, I was just talking about that in the car. Yeah, exactly. It's all about authenticity these days. Yeah. In fact, I wasn't talking about it in the car. I was talking about it just watching TV here and going, this is why I don't watch TV. It's so inauthentic. It's a whole bunch of people condescending to the audience and treating us like children. I can't stand it anymore. Like, the advertising's bad enough, but then the presenters themselves are so fake.
Having said that, Doris Day died the other day, and obviously she wasn't born Doris Day.
No, that's right. Marilyn Monroe wasn't born Marilyn Monroe.
Her name, however, was quite hard to pronounce and spell, so you can understand why she changes. So I don't want to give the impression I'm some sort of
Tom Cruise might have been Tom Krasinski or something and thought that no one could pronounce
He chose Cruise,
which is a cool name. Come on, it's a cool name. I mean, if you're trying to think of a cool name,
well,
Cruise isn't bad.
I don't think it was even cool when he took it on.
What about Penelope Cruz? Are you mad at her? I think that's her real name. It's C-R-U-Z.
But that's
U-Z. She's like, yeah.
That's the point. If he was U-Z, I wouldn't even be asking the question.
Cruz. <No. laughs> I don't think that's going to color you watching the movie. I hope it doesn't too much.
No, it won't. Yeah. It won't. Absolutely. None of that will affect me. I was only explaining to you in response to your question why I've probably avoided Tom Cruise movies.
It's just one of those things. I find a lot of people say they won't watch Tom Cruise movies. Mum said it before we came in here. And I'm like, well, what if it's a good movie though? Like, do you really care that it was Tom Cruise?
Yeah,
I know
you've
got
to watch
money,
it to
already...
find out.
True.
Well, that's,
he doesn't really
that's
make
part
bad
of the
movies.
Commercial challenge of marketing a movie. So if you put Tom Cruise in it, you've got to factor in that there's people out there who won't watch it.
True. Tom Cruise is now an industry unto himself. Mm. He produces his own movies. He puts the money up. He stars in them. He hires everyone who's involved, the writers, the directors, and so on. You know, he's been making those, you know, Mission Impossible, right?
I've heard he's the star of Mission Impossible.
Yeah,
movies.
So not the original TV show, the remake in filmic form.
I watched the original TV show, but I haven't seen any of those movies. So what would Tom Cruise's not his best known necessarily, but his most respected movie in the industry. What would that be?
You'd have to think very hard to find one that would be more respected than Jerry Maguire on Tom Cruise's
roster.
It's
got to be apart from that, because we're about to watch that.
Apart from that, it would have to be one of his action movies. He's got or the first Mission Impossible. It's quite revered. It's extremely tense.
But they're all post Jerry Maguire, aren't they?
Yeah. The thing about Tom Cruise is his claim to fame now is, I think he's somewhere in mid-50s or maybe even older now. He's still doing his own stunts. Like, he literally broke his leg in half jumping off a building in one of his Mission Impossible movies or something recently. It's a huge deal. And so he's the only one really making movies where, when you see the character hanging from the side of a building or something, he's actually doing that stuff. I mean, yeah, there might be an extra wire for safety, but He's actually getting out there. His physical fitness is unmatched, and he looks hilarious when he runs, but he runs very fast.
Good on him. Good on him for doing all of that. But I can't see it makes the slightest difference to the end result of the movie.
It does, because when they use stunt people, they have to, you know, make the cameras further away, make sure you can't see the face, or they have to digitally paint the face on, which they've started doing recently. But you can kind of tell when that happens. It just doesn't look right. So I don't know. I respect him for his work ethic. He could very easily just make Jerry Maguire 2, and it would probably make, you know, $1 billion pretty easily. But he's out there, you know, on motorbikes and jumping off cliffs and doing crazy stuff. So
anyway,
but that's his industry now. When he did Jerry Maguire, he wasn't doing that. He wasn't known as much as an action star. It was more sort of romantic comedies and just romances, or I don't even know, like a movie like Cocktail, I don't even know what the category is. It's not comedic essentially or effectively, but it's not, I mean, it's romantic. It's about, it's a love story, but it's not funny.
So are you saying that Jerry Maguire is not typical of the movies that he's made?
No, it was a bit different. It was a bit of a departure. So the heart of Jerry Maguire comes from the director, not from Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise didn't, as far as I know, produce this or anything. He wasn't doing that back then. The director's name is Cameron Crowe, and he was kind of, I don't even know where he came from. Jerry Maguire was the first movie that I ever saw that he directed. The script is so dense and well-written and well-structured, and there's a couple of bits that feel weird where they're sort of unmotivated, but for the most part, there's so much happening between the characters in this movie that you don't have time to worry about if Tom Cruise is a Scientologist or anything like that. And even if the acting was bad, it would probably still be good because the script is so tight. Well, that's how I feel about it anyway. I've always felt it's been an inspiration to me in writing that a lot of times when you're writing fiction, you go, okay, I'm going to draw this out and wait until the big reveal to get to that moment that I know I'm going to get to. Jerry Maguire doesn't do that. It just gets to the moment as quickly as possible in the most efficient way, and then just has another moment that's 10 times as good later. It's almost like the writing has so much confidence that the drama to come is good that he's not holding an ace up his sleeve. He's just revealing everything as it comes, you know, naturally. And I think that's something that it really taught me when I watched this film, that it just, you don't hold it back. Because I was doing that, you know, I mean, I don't know if you remember any of the short stories I used to write, but I used to just think you'd have one idea and then the job of the story was to reveal that one idea. And Jerry Maguire shows me you can put all your ideas in one movie, you know, and then have the confidence you'll think of new ideas later. So, yeah, it was a bit of an inspiration for me in some ways, but that doesn't necessarily mean it'll hold up. It's a 1996 movie, so we're talking about... was it now 20, 13 years?
I beg your pardon. What did I pay to send you to school again? 23 years, try?
Yeah, 23. Well, it just sounds like such a long time. I just doubted the math there for a second. It really does seem like a long time. But, yeah, I guess it'll be the 25th anniversary soon. They'll release a box set or, well, I guess there's no box set, but they'll release a special edition or something. All right, well, enough about the movie. I think we should just watch it. What do you reckon?
Let's go for it.
All right, cool. All right, well, we watched Jerry Maguire. How do you feel about it? What are your initial thoughts?
I really enjoyed it.
Okay, that's good. Oh, thank God for that. Yeah. Fucking hell, we've got a winner. Please elaborate.
Well, I just think it was a lovely feel-good movie.
Yeah.
Very nicely acted.
Yeah.
Just loved the way it was set up with that scene in the hospital at the start.
Yeah.
I just thought it was quite brilliant, very, very moving scene.
Yeah. Well, it gets you right in, doesn't it?
And
the credits are still rolling.
So it set up the theme rather well. It was a bit cliched at the start. I know what a sports agent does in a general sense, but the way it was all overhyped a bit.
The opening credits are still running while all of that story happens. Yes. Normally you get pictures of mountains or something.
Yes, that often annoys me, actually, when that's done. But anyway, that scene really grabbed me as setting up the theme. Mm. But certainly as the movie went on and we got to know the little boy and his mum, they were charming, you know, and just really nicely told story.
And Cuba Gooding Jr., of course, is a highlight. Did you find... Cuba Gooding Jr., who plays Rod Tidwell?
Well,
big for you?
Not a lovable type, mm. I didn't think. No, but a very interesting character.
Mm.
Yeah.
Certainly not boring anyway.
No, not at all. But that wasn't my focus. My focus was very much on the relationship at the core of the movie. And for all my misgivings about Tom Cruise before we started, he did a good job. I thought Jerry Maguire's character was quite believable, quite well done. I thought, is it Renee that played Renee?
Yeah, Renee Zellweger.
Zellweger. She was really good. And the little kid was just sensational.
And not a hint of Scientology in the entire movie, which is good.
Oh, well, you didn't think about that. No, you didn't.
Yeah, no. Well, you don't. He's the character, right? Like, he is a good actor. He's, you know, even when he's doing action movies and stuff, he's still the character. It's just he can only play a certain type of character. He doesn't have a range.
Well, in a funny way, I think I benefited from not having seen him much because he was just Jerry Maguire from the start for me. Mm. So I never saw him as Tom Cruise much. I was thinking it was, but, yeah, I wasn't overly conscious of that. I thought, yeah, he was good. I wouldn't rave about it, but, you know, he played the character well.
I don't think Tom Cruise is going to be winning any Oscars, but he's good at the thing that he does well.
Yeah.
And he stays within those boundaries. Doesn't go very far. Although this was,
it wasn't an Oscar winning character.
Probably not.
No.
There's no way to do it better, but as good as he did it, it's not going to win the award.
Yeah.
I think Cuba Gooding Jr. did. He won the Oscar.
Did he?
Yeah. For that. Yeah. Renee Zellweger, I'm not sure if she. I think they were all probably nominated or whatever. I don't remember. But Cuba Gooding Jr. is the only one who won anything in the Oscars anyway.
The stunt at the end was very well done.
The sports event, you mean?
Well, it's not a spear tackle, but the headlong dive into the turf. It was a bit scary.
Yeah, no, I mean, when they're playing the replay and then reversing it, you see actually it's quite,
Well, it's what you see in real sport these days. Yeah. They play these, when someone gets injured, they play it over and over again in football. And
maybe that's why it was rated for violence. It was just like the sporting violence, because there's no violence other than Tom Cruise gets punched in the face.
Yeah. And there was plenty of, there's quite a few laughs in it. It was
Most of the gags worked quite well. A couple of them were a bit cringy actually this time around, but a few of them, nothing too bad. Most of them worked pretty well.
Anyway, it was a feel-good movie. It made I found it enjoyable, fun. There was a point to it. There was a message in it.
What message did you take away from it then?
Well, the message I was taking from it was that you don't have to be ruthless in business to be successful, that there's some value in the world still for real people who have genuine relationships, and they can succeed as well as shallower, more ruthless people.
Or maybe the money isn't the only type of wealth, right? Or the only type of value.
I didn't take it to be I suppose that's another way to put it, but I didn't take it that way. I didn't take it at the end of the movie. Jerry Maguire wasn't going to have a very profitable business. He clearly was going to go on from that point and have an extremely profitable business as a result of the breakthrough, to use a cliche.
Mm.
So I didn't take it to be so much about money. The message to me was more, if you focus just on the money, you won't be as successful.
Yeah, it's about the balance.
Because that's certainly
everything, right?
Was certainly the key to the to the football player eventually unleashing his best form was to stop worrying about money and the competition with the others and just to play the game and play with a bit of passion. It's a good lesson in that from a sports perspective, but it obviously wasn't the main theme of the film.
Well, I don't know. I think I feel like – so it's a bit of a mix of story, right? Like why have Rod Tidwell in the movie at all if you just want to focus on a romance? So the way I see it is it's almost like a parallel romance and a bromance going on at the same time, and the relationship with Rod as kind of almost a mentor, like a reverse mentor.
No, I took it was the only way you could have a happy ending in the film, though, was to have a sports star or a sportsman in the first place that sticks with him through friendship, albeit he was the show me the money man to start with.
Conditional friendship.
He was really just talking like everyone else in the industry. But he became more aware of his true self and what was important to him, and it actually unleashed the best football in him, which in turn was bound to make Jerry Maguire successful. That's how I took it.
I still think it's maybe not equal pegging with the romantic plot.
Oh, no, it's no, you're right. The core plots, the romance, absolutely.
No, I think they're pretty equal. What I'm saying is I think one doesn't exist without the other. And I think even in that moment where Rod sort of got the media excited about him and he's enjoying the moment and Tom Cruise just runs off, he realizes at that point, obviously, that his relationship is more important and that it's not complete and that he's not really a part of that. He can help inspire it, but he can't enjoy it.
That's the word to me. He simply realized he wasn't enjoying it like he should have been.
But there's another side to this whole thing, and I, the more I watch Jerry Maguire, the more I see a sinister side to this movie, which is you can very easily read it as a story about a narcissist continually tricking a vulnerable single mother into taking him back. And it's actually more and more prevalent the more you watch it, because the whole movie's telling you that all the time, that the marriage has no validity. He doesn't love her. She loves him. And then she says, oh, I took advantage of you, but it's kind of not what the movie tells you. It's what she tells him as a way to break up or whatever, or to explain it. But it's quite narcissistic the way he behaves narcissistic.
Isn't she just saying that because she formed that view that he didn't love her?
Yes.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He says that too.
No, he didn't.
He didn't. He still doesn't at the end.
Well.
So isn't he just repeating the pattern? Like
I took it that the penny had dropped and he did.
Yeah, that he can't be alone, but we knew that at the start of the movie, right? That he couldn't enjoy that moment.
I mean,
alone.
Those of us who have lived real lives and haven't lived it in the movies know that love is not something that happens the same for everyone.
Sure, they could very well grow old together and get along really well.
People learn to love one another, other people fall in love at first sight and everything in between. It's not that simple.
No, it's not.
We're
talking about
people.
The film is trying to tell you. By the end, he does.
I didn't have any doubt that they were, by the end of the film, headed for a long and happy relationship.
I doubt it. I doubt it a lot.
Okay, well, I don't know what you base that on.
Because nothing's changed. Nothing's changed at the end, except he's just gone, I don't want to experience this moment without my wife, which he's always felt that he couldn't be alone, right? I mean, he didn't enjoy anything alone. That was the whole thing. Nothing's changed at the end except he's come back and narcissistically drawn her back in. You could look at it that way is what I'm saying.
I took it more that he'd learnt to let people into his emotions and into his life, whereas he'd found it difficult to do that previously. I took it as a learning experience that the penny had dropped and that was going to change him.
Yeah, and I think that's what the movie's trying to say.
Yeah.
It is trying to be a happy ending. I'm not saying that that's the interpretation that you're supposed to come away with. You're not. But the more I watch it, the more I see a narcissistic personality basically emotionally abusing a woman and her son for his own mental shortcomings.
Oh, I think that's very harsh.
Yeah, it is. It is, but that's how I'm starting to see it. It's kind of interesting to watch it that way too.
I certainly didn't harbor such sinister thoughts.
No, I mean, it's only really because I've, I guess, learnt a lot more about narcissism and sociopathy and stuff like that recently that I can see that is how he behaves. He is narcissistic, at least at the start of the movie, where he's unable to sort of feel emotion, but he wants to pretend, like he's having
the point that he's in an industry that attracts that sort of person.
Sure. They're all narcissists. Bob Sugar, his rival.
Well, complete
narcissist.
Yeah.
Loved firing his mentor.
With very few redeeming features. As we see him in the movie. I took it that he'd opened up both to the football player and to the possibility of his feelings towards his wife. And I took it that the little boy had a big part to play in that.
But that's the thing. Like, Rod calls him on that, right? He says you shouldn't shoplift the pootie from a single mother, right? Which means you shouldn't try and get yourself a kid by pretending to be romantically involved in his mother, right? Which is a pretty narcissistic, evil thing to do.
Well, it would be if you did it consciously, yeah.
He kind of was conscious of it, though. Like, when he was called on it, he basically sort of, he denied it once and then admitted it.
Well, he admitted it in the sense that maybe that's what I was doing. I don't think he said that's what I set out to do.
No. He didn't see a kid in a park and stalk him or something like that. No, it wasn't deliberate. But he knows the reason that he
clearly
wants to
stay. Kid was stroking his ego too, and they both were.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
They both were.
It's just another way to look at the movie. I just it hadn't really occurred to me until watching it that time round. I decided to just watch that story instead because I've seen it a bunch of times.
The collection of divorcees were pretty.
I don't think you could portray them like that now, could you?
It was pretty brutally done.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, they're not favorably shown at all, right? I mean, it's not just me.
Well, they make Cinderella's ugly sisters look pretty attractive.
Yeah. It's probably not cool. I don't know. In a way, I think it's a reflection of Renee Zellweger's character judging them, so they show them the way she sees them. And the way she doesn't want them to influence her son and stuff. But even after she's sort of changed and she's part of the group, they're still the same.
Well, she was on the verge of joining them.
I guess she doesn't need to.
Rescued her. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's almost like that was like her horrible fate if he hadn't come back into that living room.
That's what it was. Yeah.
It's almost like a horror movie in a way, isn't it? It's like the monster's about to eat her and she gets saved right at the end or something. Yeah, it's funny. Did you notice the song? You know that song that comes in?
The one at the end or?
It's at the end. It's about three times during the movie, I think.
I noticed it, but I didn't sort of take in the words.
So that's it's a Bruce Springsteen song. You remember he did a few different songs. He did Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He did Jerry Maguire. He made those movies.
No, I didn't realize it was Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, it is. It's a really good song too. You know, it's
What's it called?
It's called Secret Garden.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, you may have heard the song separately.
He had an album, didn't he, called Secret Garden?
Possibly. I don't know if the song was made. I think it might have been made directly for the movie. But think about that song and the words of that song. She lets you into her life. All that. Isn't that saying she's a victim? I mean, isn't that what the song's about at least?
Yes, but I don't take that as a negative.
No, it's saying be careful with her. Yeah, it's saying be careful with her, don't abuse her, which is the whole everything that everyone's telling Jerry Maguire during the movie. Don't fuck this up.
Well, he wasn't sure about his own feelings.
Mm.
He got called out.
Mm.
He acknowledged that it might have been more about him than her and them. He went away and penny dropped and he thought, no, it is about them.
And they lived happily ever after. And we know that because there was no sequel.
I don't know that you need to believe they lived happily ever after, but they would have had an enduring relationship and his business would have become successful. That we were clearly told that. The big athlete there at the end who was clearly going to
switch over.
And I mean, that's all you needed to know.
I guess, and in a lot of ways, their business was in sort of the foundation of their relationship in the sense that the mission statement that he's using to run the business essentially is what attracted her to him in the first place and so on. So if the business is successful, maybe the relationship's successful and they're kind of inextricably linked.
I've got another view on that. I mean, I don't take it that she would have necessarily continued to work closely in the business. That's a
She's going to spend all her time in the kitchen, is she?
No, she might, she might have had more children. She might have done sorts of things, Chris. But all I'm saying is, I don't think it was necessarily saying that she, because that is a difficult relationship.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Isn't the movie sort of saying that's okay for them? Like, if that's the basis of their relationship, it's saying. Because Rod Tidwell says to him basically, you know, like, what are you doing? You're not in love with her, whatever. And he's saying, well, she was loyal. She came with me. She joined the business. Isn't that just saying that was enough for them? That's their connection and that's okay?
No, I took that more to be him exploring his own feelings and realizing that he wasn't sure. He wasn't sure if he loved her at that point. The seed of doubt was sown in his mind that he may have been doing all this for the wrong reason.
Well, maybe that was all just Rod's fault. I mean, the doubt came from him mostly.
Yeah, but he did open his eyes. That's how I took it. I took it as face value.
Well, there's the big question then. Did it get any moisture out of you?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah, I got emotional a couple of times.
During the sports scene? That would be my guess that... Yeah. Rod
nothing. Rod did.
No,
that's not what I found emotional. No, I've a couple of the things with the kid I did, and a couple of their personal moments.
Right. Yeah. The breakup moment?
No, not the sad ones so much.
That one doesn't
It was more the warm moments than the sad one.
Well, that's good then, isn't it? I mean, it is a pretty light movie, but there's some darker themes to it as well. Yeah. It's definitely an adult movie. A kid just would probably get bored with quite a lot of it, apart from maybe the – well, they'd probably like Rod, actually, because he's so loud. But
I think the only – I do like big sporting moments, but gridiron, American football's not a sport that I feel any emotional attachment to, so that probably would play against – affecting me if that had been
AFL.
A goal after the siren in an AFL grand final, I might have felt emotional about it.
Has there ever been Australian rules football in a movie? I don't know if there has.
A movie called The Club, which is a David Williamson play about the Collingwood Football Club, and they made that into a movie.
And there were like scenes of the sport.
Graham Kennedy was in it, I remember. Mm. He was the owner or manager of the club.
Okay.
Jack Thompson played the star footballer, I think. Yeah, so there's an Australian movie called The Club. There's been one or two others. I can't remember the names of them.
It's just weird to think of Australian rules being like all been, on the big screen.
They've all been comedic rather than serious as far as I can remember.
Yeah. But would you consider Jerry Maguire a comedy, do you think? It's jokes.
It had a few laughs, but it was Jerry Maguire's character doesn't have massive depth and it doesn't have a lot of layers to it. It's fairly, you know, one-dimensional type of character.
Yeah.
Which I think militates against it being called a really serious drama or anything like that. I just took it more as a feel-good romantic story with a few laughs along the way. So romantic comedy is a pretty good description.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I have trouble because I wouldn't call it a drama, straight drama either. But romantic comedy just has these associations that I don't, you know, like most movies that are called romantic comedies, I feel a certain way about, and I don't feel that way about Jerry Maguire. So yeah. I don't want to call it that, but maybe it is. It is pretty light.
It's certainly got as we were saying before, a message to it. So
yeah,
that's an important part of me enjoying a film. If I feel there's no point to it, no message to it, I drop off pretty fast. As I say, I think his character, by definition, is not a character with enormous depth. It probably would have, post the film, probably develop a lot of depth as he grows older. But it's not a multi-dimensional character.
I don't know if I agree with that.
It was a developing character rather than a multi-dimensional.
Yeah, a work in progress. But at the same time, I think he's fleshed out enough that you can even probably point to people that you know that have similar traits or whatever. He was fleshed out enough that he seemed like a real character that could exist in the real world, I think. And considering how light the movie is.
I didn't say he wasn't a real character. I was just saying there are people in the world, they're real people, but they don't have as much depth as other people. That's just that type of character that you would see in that sort of industry in particular, I suppose.
For sure.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe he's just a narcissist.
But I don't want to say, I wouldn't like to sound judgmental or arrogant in saying that. That's
but you're not saying you're deep.
I'm not saying anything about myself. I'm just saying I'm not wanting to make out like that sort of character is lesser than a person with more depth. That's not what I mean.
Maybe you mean emotionally immature or something like that, or undeveloped. Because I think when I think of character depth, I think, is there anything that did I know enough about the character to understand them? And in this case, I do. He's not deep in the sense that he's like a philosophical thinker or anything like that, or like he wants to be.
Well, he became deeper than he was. That was the whole point of the movie. That's why I called him a developing character. He could well be a very interesting multi-dimensional character beyond the film, but he was just starting out to develop some dimensions to his character in the film. That was really what it was about.
So did it live up to expectation based on me bigging it up at the start or whatever?
Well, I did mention to a couple of people that I was going to watch it, and they all immediately came up with the show me the money line as a memorable line that they remembered the movie and laughed and said, oh, you'll enjoy that. So I guess I was set up to enjoy it by a couple of comments I'd heard, but I really had no idea what it was going to be like. So
it's funny how movies like that, right? Like you can get a picture of a movie. I remember when Ghostbusters came out, you know, Ghostbusters, I mean, you probably haven't seen it, but it's, you know, it was a comedic movie, and people said, "Oh, it was like a movie where you know these group of guys form a company where they're exterminating ghosts." And I'm like, "Why would anyone want to see this movie? I don't understand." Yeah. And I watched the trailer, and I didn't get it. And then when you see the movie, it's the tone that makes it so special. You know, the tone and the interaction of the characters and the really fine details of it. And I wouldn't have seen Ghostbusters based on anyone telling me, other than that it was just so popular that everybody had to see it. You know, it was like social pressure or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, Jerry Maguire, let's give it a score. What would
it's American.
You know, I was going to ask you about that because it's a very American movie.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe you don't seem that big a fan of American culture in general.
No.
So that's got to turn you off a little bit.
And it's Tom Cruise. I thought he did a really good job and was played that character very well, but a relatively straightforward role character. It was enjoyable, made me laugh, made me a bit emotional, made me react. Respond, I'd say I'd have to give it 8.
Okay.
8 out of 10. Yeah.
I think, did you give, you gave Memento an 8?
I think I gave that an 8 from memory.
To Memento. Very different movies, though, very hard to compare.
Well, that's right. So, as you know, I haven't got a large repertoire of movies I've seen. That movie, I would measure that against something like The Graduate or something like that.
Okay. Interestingly, yes. The Graduate's your 10, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So Graduate's got a similar sort of tone. It's fairly light, isn't it? It's been a long time for me.
It's got brilliant music, which takes it beyond that. Yeah, in most other respects, you'd say it was similar.
Okay, cool. Well, I think 8's a pretty good score. Yeah. I'm happy with that. If it got a couple of tears out of you, that was the whole point. So we can go back next week when we watch another one and I can just make you watch something that you hate again. Is that great?
Well, if you, you'll get one wrong eventually, of course.
Yes. Well, I've got one that I like doing the ones that I'm not sure about. You know, like I'm never sure about any of them, I guess, but I like doing the ones where there's a possibility that it may be like that movie that you love.
Yeah.
And that, I can't predict it.
That's going to happen. One's going to click with me and it may well end up being for reasons that you'd never even thought of. But it hasn't happened really yet, I don't think.
No, not yet, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there. Jerry Maguire, that's a good result for Jerry Maguire, I think. I think even on IMDb, let me see what the score is, but I think you went higher than the average score on IMDb, which means you liked it more than the average person.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
7.3 it gets on IMDb.
We said at the start, I've got three things in life that I'm very interested in. Sport. Mm-hmm. What were the other two?
Well, I had
marriage was one.
Marriage and public relations.
Public. Oh, you said public relations. Yeah. Well, yeah,
that's not a bit of a stretch.
It's not public relations as such. No. Well, not the sort of public relations I'm involved in anyway.
Yeah. There's an aspect of public relations in the sense that he has to deal with the media and manage his image, Rod's image, his client's
except
image.
That the whole of that was very cliched.
Very different.
It always is. Yeah. It's very different from the real world.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. A bit more exciting in some ways, I guess. If you can just walk a lobby once and change someone's career, that'd be really
that
nice.
That was quite amusing, that scene.
That's a great scene, but probably not realistic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is there anything else you wanted to add to?
No. Thanks for showing me one I've enjoyed.
All right. We'll go back to the shit next week.
Okay.
Righto. Thanks, Nat.
Righto. Cheers.